Are these virgins condemned? What does it mean, I do not know you? In Romans 8 we read, whoever has not the Spirit is not his own. So these virgins had not the Holy Spirit at that time, and they were not his own. But if we compare this verse with verse 30 of the same chapter, this is the end of the parable of the talents. There the Lord says, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. This is a sentence of judgment. This unprofitable servant is judged at that time. But the five foolish virgins are only told by the Lord at that time, before the wedding starts, the real wedding, the second phase, the Lord says to them, I do not know you. And then the Lord finishes this parable with verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And this means the Son of Man is coming in glory. The first coming of the Lord was nearly ending at that time, and he is speaking of his coming in glory. Now, the faithful remnant of Israel will receive the Holy Spirit later at the coming of Christ in glory and majesty. This is the interpretation of this verse that the Lord did not condemn the foolish virgins, but he said, I do not know you. In Zechariah 12:10, we read, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So this is clearly the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the faithful remnant of Israel. And this is done in the moment when the Lord comes in glory and majesty. And something else is important. At first they see whom they have pierced with nails and with the Roman soldier's spear in the side and in his feet. And when they see this first, then they believe. But the Lord said to Thomas, when he said, unless I see, I will not believe. He said to him, blessed is he who does not see and believes. And this is a kind of belief which the Lord expects of every believer in the time of the church. We are not waiting for signs and wonders to believe, but we believe because of the word of our Lord, the word of God. So this remnant, this faithful remnant of Israel will receive the Holy Spirit later at the coming of Christ in glory and majesty. But now the question, who is the bride of Christ? We mentioned already that the bride is the church, and this is in correspondence with 2 Corinthians 11:2. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But there are others who believe that the bride is Israel. And there seems to be a clash between the two meanings, but I don't see a problem. We already mentioned that John the Baptist said, he that has a bride is a bridegroom. And John, of course, is speaking about the believers in Israel. He is not speaking about the Pharisees who rejected Jesus, the Messiah, and the Lamb of God. But he is speaking about the believers who believe that he is sent by God and, of course, sent according to the scriptures, first to suffer and then the second time he comes in power and glory. The full understanding is probably not present in John, but he knows the bridegroom is the man he had announced as the Lamb of God. But how can these two different understandings be reconciled? We read about this in Ephesians 2, and I will read a bit longer portion from 11 to 19 with some a part of this. Therefore I remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What does this mean? He has broken down the middle wall of partition. Paul speaks about the courts of the temple, and there was a partition wall with warnings for all uncircumcised from the nations. If you go on, you are going to your death, free willing. So don't go on. This was a warning, and the partition wall was there as long as this temple stood. But Paul says, the Lord Jesus has broken down the middle wall of partition. Partition. What does it mean? There are believers in both sides, in the holy place, where the altar stands, and only the male of Israel could go there, and the other place where all the nations could come. And now the middle wall is broken down. Are now the nations made one with Israel? Of course they are. But how does God view at them? Does God view at the whole crowd to be nations, or does he look at them as Israel? Of course. They are all holy now. They have all access to the holy place. And even more, not only as in the Old Testament time and the time when before the sacrifice of our Lord, when the veil was still between the holy and the most holy place. We have now together with the believers of Israel, with the so-called Messianic Jews, we have free access to the most holy place and to the Ark of the Covenant and the seat of grace, the glory, the throne of grace. This all we know from the letter to the Hebrews. So now we know from God's view this discussion, who is the bride, Israel or the nations or the church, is not very wise. And I will go on to read from Ephesians 2, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And the same kind of teaching we find in the great chapters about the Jews in Romans 9 to 11, and I read Romans 11, 16 to 18. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, so bearest not the root, but the root bearest thee. So when we once visited Israel, we saw a nice T-shirt in one of the shop. You are not the root, the root bearest thee. Very good to remember us that we have the right attitude to God's people. We don't know what the plan of God is and the destiny of the single person in Israel. What we are told is to show them Christian love. I want to remember you. In the beginning of the Reformation, Martin Luther had a great love to the Jews and tried to help them. And one of the helpful things was he wrote a pamphlet with the title, Jesus Was a Jew. And at the end, very near before his death, he wrote his last pamphlet about the Jews and their lies, and is the most terrible thing you can think of. It was more or less the vice book for the terrible so-called Kristallnacht in Germany in the night from the 9th to the 10th November 1938. How is it possible that this man of God so much changed his view? And we were told that Luther preached to the Jews and expected that they all will accept the gospel, the newly found gospel of grace under all the rubble of the Catholic teaching, the gospel of grace, and they would accept the gospel of grace. But the Jews, with some small exceptions, remained Jews. And he was very much frustrated, and out of this trust, this terrible pamphlet occurred. So we have to learn from the history. We can't expect that every Jew who hears the gospel from us will accept the gospel. We not even don't know whether God has another very good plan with him, or whether this man, this individual, will reject the grace at all. That's God's way. We have to show them love and to be a witness to whom, to the person we loved, who will come as a bridegroom, and later who will come as the King of Kings in power and glory. Now we will a bit more go into the wedding itself. At first, let us turn to John 14, and I will read the verses 2 and 3. We sang this with the children together. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And this is the time directly after the rapture we are looking for. But this is before the real wedding. This is the first phase of the wedding. So, and when the Lord said in Matthew 25, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." This is the second coming, and even much more, it refers to the secret coming to receive his bride. In Luke 21, the Lord finishes his teaching and saying, "If these things start to happen, then lift up your eyes, because the time of your saving is near." So this is what we have to do. Now, I will take a summary of these three groups we mentioned. There are three positive groups according to God's plan with Israel who have to be discerned. Of course, there are unbelievers, aliens of the gospel. They are not mentioned in these three groups. The first group is the bride. The second group are the five wise virgins, and they start witnessing after the rapture, and the content of their witness is Christ Jesus is the King Messiah, and he and his kingdom is at hand. And this preaching reaches all the nations as a witness before the actual coming of the King Messiah. And then the foolish virgins, the faithful remnant of Israel, faithful because they don't bow their knees to the last wrong Messiah who helps Israel to build the temple, and strange enough, the very high honored philosopher and Bible teacher Maimonides said, if somebody has the ability, a master diplomat, who give Israel the possibility to restart the temple sacrifice and to build the temple again, then he has qualified as a Messiah. And Israel is, there's a lot of literature on this, and they look for this person. And we know from Daniel 9 that this is the last wrong Messiah. So everybody who is not deceived of Israel, but goes through the big tribulation that the Lord mentioned in Matthew 4, a terrible tribulation on the whole earth, especially on the faithful remnant of Israel, but on all who will not worship this last wrong Messiah, this Antichrist. So this faithful remnant is going to Israel, to Jerusalem, and will start the sacrifice again, and then the whole world fights against Israel. This is described in Zechariah 12:9 and 14 in the first verses, and then the Messiah, the King of Kings, will come, and these faithful, as I read already, will recognize him in the wounds, and then the spirit of repentance is poured out upon them. This is the third group of Israel. So now, after we have understood that God has a more complicated positive plan with Israel, we'll, as a last thought, look at the marriage of the Lamb. And we turn to Revelation 19, 7 to 8. And there we read, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." If you think of a wedding nowadays, there are two main persons, the bridegroom and the bride, who looks the prettiest. In our time, always the bride, and especially because of her dress. And it is very interesting that here the dress of the bride is mentioned. "She was arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." In the original, righteousness is in the plural, and this means the righteous acts of the saints. So let us think about it. When do the saints do righteous acts? Of course, when they are on this earth. But is this not something against our teaching that there are no works necessary for our redemption? Surely, there's no works necessary. Our redemption is completely by the blood of the Lamb of God. But the redeemed have a big love to their Redeemer. And out of this love come righteous acts. These righteous acts include our witness to our Lord and Redeemer. There are much more of righteous deeds, but they are all motivated by the love to our Redeemer, to our Bridegroom. So, from this scripture we learn that in our time, now, we are preparing the beautiful, most magnificent bride's robe, which is visible in the bride's, in the marriage of the Lamb. Now, today, we do this. I will, and it is very important, everything what we thought about before, that we do not become frustrated if people from Israel don't accept what we tell them. I will tell you a bit of our experience. I had quite often cooperation with colleagues from Israel, and one of the colleagues was Orthodox, and he did not talk with me about the Bible. When I started to talk about my belief, he only answered with yes and no. And then we were in Israel when the ultimatum of the first Gulf War was running, and all the people of other countries left Israel, and we came and did our research work together. And he was impressed by this and started to talk to us. And then I gave him a book, The Messiah in the Old Testament in the Light of Rabbinical Writing. Very good book, and he read it, and 1 week later he told us, "This is the most marvelous thing you could have given to us. I read it, and my daughters And we were in Jerusalem, the whole family together for Passover, and this was the only discussion, what the old rabbis had said about the Messiah. They had a complete different attitude to Isaiah 53 than the modern people. So I thought, this is very good. He will soon be a believer. Some time later, he phoned us and said, can you help me to find some addresses in Berlin? So he was had traveled to Berlin, and it was Sunday evening. We went to meet him, and he had written Artilleriestraße 31 and another address. And I looked in my map, and no such street was there. So I told him, we have to find out tomorrow in Monday, and now we will invite you to eat some in a restaurant. He said, sorry, we can't go with you. We brought a case full kosher food, so sorry. And I said, no problem, we know a kosher restaurant, we'll lead you there. So we went to former East Berlin, in a place where in the 30s many Jews lived, and in this area there is a kosher restaurant, and we had our meal together, and then we asked the waiter whether he knew which street was formerly the Artilleriestraße. And he said, it's our street here, Tucholsky Street, was former called Artilleriestraße. So, and after we had finished, it was an old house where this restaurant had its place. We went and looked, and then we found a text about the history of the house. And the last sentence was, former postal address, Artilleriestraße 31. And he read this, started crying. I'm the first time in my life in Berlin. And in the first evening, the Eternal One leads me to the house where my grandfather lived and where my mother was born. So we were also very much moved and thanked God that he helped us. We couldn't have done this. This was the leading of God. And then it went on. Some years later, he wrote to me whether we could help him to find the graves of his great-grandparents. So we went with him several days, several hundred miles, and searched for these gravestones, and when we found them, they were in perfect situation. Granite, as if they had made the day before. And we took a picture of him in front of the gravestones of his great-grandparents. And then we said good night, and then he knocked at our door and had the first time the freedom to ask the most important question in his life. And he said, how can you Christians believe in a threefold God? But in Deuteronomy 6, it is said, here Israel, God is one. And this is a number one. And I knew this, and I showed him from Genesis that God said the two persons, male and female, will be in marriage, one flesh. It's the same number one. And he heard this and started to think. And then I showed him what we read from Zechariah 12:10, and showed him Zechariah 14:3 and other verses. It's the same situation. The man whose coming and power and glory is the same who was 2,000 years before pierced by Israel. So this is and there are several years past. He never said it is all wrong, but he also never accepted the Lord Jesus as a savior. So we go on praying. And I think this kind of witness belongs to this preparation of the righteous, of the fine linen, because it is the righteous deeds of the saints today. And I will finish with two verses from Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And 20, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
This is a rather elaborate study that the Hartmut is undertaking to do it in 35 minutes. But it's something that I know that you have lost in, unless you were a serious student of scriptural scripture. What is shared with us was important. Useful for us to know that, and I'd like to see it done sometime. Unfortunately, it cannot be done in a short time and have it make sense to people who are not well instructed in the scriptures. Essentially, we have the church now waiting for the Lord to the rapture, is going to be taken away, the marriage is going to take place in heaven. But the marriage feast is going to take place on earth. The virgins are among those who are bearing witness, 144,000. John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom, which they will be carrying. And he says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. I am a friend of the bridegroom. He identifies with those who are the friends of the bridegroom, who stand outside and hear the bridegroom's voice. And they, of course, are like the virgins. Those who are mentioned in Revelation 19, those who are invited to the marriage of the bridegroom, the marriage feast. Those who are invited. The bride doesn't have to be invited. The bride, that is part of this saying. Anyway, it's more than you can digest in a few minutes. So I wanted to hit the highlights so that perhaps it will help some to put some things together. Okay, let's conclude. Our Father in God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is there for our instruction. And we pray that what we have done today will serve to encourage us to be more deeply instructed in your word by the Spirit, who wishes to bless our hearts with and to fill our hearts with a longing for the bridegroom. Amen.